Well, we're in Walking with Jesus. This is 6 weeks walking with Jesus. That's pretty awesome, right? I like it. We have been walking with Jesus for the last few weeks now, and we started let me go back a little bit, because we're walking with Jesus, and remember last week we kind of told you what we're going to do is next week we're going to walk with Jesus some more, okay, one more time, and then we're going to die with Jesus for the next like 6 weeks up till Easter. We're going to die with Jesus. We're going to see what he went through. We're going to walk with him just like we're walking with the disciples right now. It's pretty awesome, I think. But we're going to die with him, and we're going to have a video, a presentation in the morning. It's going to start at 8 o'clock every morning, all right? Or no, 9 o'clock, I'm sorry. 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, not next week, but the following week. If you want to come out, there's a video, about 30-minute video before the message, and the message will be at 10 o'clock. And then there'll be a couple of questions and things like that that you can answer and whatever. It's really a nice video, a nice time. And then on Good Friday, we're going to have a nice video that night. It's an excellent time. And then Sunday morning, Easter morning, we're going to have the resurrection morning. We're going to have the sunrise service. We're going to have breakfast. We're going to come out and do the 10 o'clock service and whatever. But we're going to have an awesome Easter experience, okay? Then after that, what we're going to do is we're going to live with Jesus. Amen? All right, most of you know how that feels. Living with Jesus is awesome, man. I wouldn't trade that for anything, especially when I get and the books are open and my name is in there. Amen? Man, I want it to be in there, don't you? I would hate for me to be standing there, well, Ritz, how do you spell that again? I don't see it in here. Oh, no, I can't believe that. Anyway, we've been walking with him, and we started with a walk with Peter, a close walk, a one-on-one walk with Peter. Remember, Peter invited him into the ship, right, and into the boat, and they had that one-on-one. He had an intentional relationship with Peter. He initiated. He said, hey, let me into that boat, and he said, come on in. How many have invited Jesus into their boat? You better get some hands up, folks. Well, I know that I have my work cut out for me today, all right? Well, the Holy Spirit has his work cut out for him. All right, but anyway, they had that intentional relationship, and then we saw the miracle of all the fish, right? He got all this big fish and everything, and, you know, best catch. You guys have never seen a catch like that before, and it was awesome. But then we watched Jesus as he selected the rest of the 12 ordinary men, right? We went and we saw a little bit about each one of the 12 ordinary men, and the past 2 weeks we sat and listened to Jesus as he did the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll tell you what a challenging message last week was with Pastor Ron. Man, I had to go home with my head hung high thinking about that the whole time. But you know what? Because I am very, now you know me. I can't hide. I can't hide behind the pulpit. I can't, you know, I'm very judgmental. I am. Sorry. But now I'm not, because of last week's message. Man, I'll tell you what, I got to try. I can't judge her anymore. That bony finger pointing at her all the time. So anyway, we got to do that. And I have to tell you, I've really enjoyed my walk with Jesus. I really have, that journey, every step of the way. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to continue that walk, and I'm going to tell you about a parable. A parable. And we're going to follow along with it this morning. A parable, basically, Jesus now is telling his first parable. And a parable basically is a story, a physical story of a spiritual truth. Okay? Basically, a earthly story, okay, with a heavenly theme. Pretty awesome, right? That's what it's for. That's what it's used for, and it's awesome. And the parable that we're going to do today is the sower. The sower. Now, I have to tell you, I was thinking about this sowing and seeds and all that stuff, you know. I do not have a green thumb. It's not totally black, but it's not green. Because, you know what? Let me just tell you something. When plants come to my house, they come to die. Okay? Now, you've seen the elephants. You know, the elephants, when they go to die, they know that they're ready to die. They go to a certain spot and then they die, right? Well, my house is hospice for the plants. They know, oh no, I'm going to the Ritz residence. I better be right with God. I better accept Jesus because I'm going to heaven. I'm going to meet him. They come to die in my house. So anyway, however, I do really, really well with plastic plants. I really do. I mean, they just flourish in my house. See these right here? I'm the one that takes care of those plants. Those up there, same thing. See how green they are? I had a plant in my bedroom for 12 years when I lived in Connersville. All right? It just was beautiful, you know? I didn't have to talk to it. Because you have to talk to real plants, right? Like the dog whisperer, Jim Clare. He whispers to plants, too. Anyway, but you get the idea there, right? So, I'm not really an expert at this. I'm not an expert at planting seeds, planting anything. But, so... when it comes to talking about plants and soil and such things like that, we need to talk to the experts, right? And the expert is Jesus. Jesus knows a little bit about planting, a little bit about soil. After all, he's the one that made it, right? So, yeah, that's pretty awesome. So we got to do that. So let's just start at the root of the problem. Oh, come on! You know, when you have a plant that the leaves are withering, like just if you don't know what I'm talking about, come on over later on and you'll see. But plants that are in your house that are all withering and dried and brown. Maybe you'll go home and water those poor little things. But anyway. You don't go to the leaf and try and fix it, do you? You don't go, like the leaf right here. You don't go, well, this leaf is looking all dry and brown. I better take care of it. And, you know, you pet it or whatever and breathe on it. No, you go to the root of the problem, right? Because, you know what? If the brown leaves are there, more than likely the root is dead. The heart of it's dead. Because that's where the heart is. It's down in the root. And it's not getting any nourishment. It's not getting any water to it and what it needs to actually grow and be green and flourish and be beautiful like this. But anyway, so you don't go to that. Let me illustrate this. Paramedics. Any paramedics in here? No, so if I have a heart attack, I'm going to die, right? Nobody's here to fix me. All right, so paramedics, all right? They go to an accident scene. They've got this guy, he's laying out, he's bloody, he's got a broken leg, and arms hanging like this. What do? Do they go and fix the arm and the leg first? No, what do? They go to the root. They're going to check his heart, make sure it's still beating. They're going to make sure that he's still breathing, that the blood pressure is all going good and everything. Their job, their main job is to make sure that they can get this person alive to the hospital where the doctors can fix the bone. It does them no good to fix a bone or a leg on a dead person, does it? Well, you're going to be buried, but you're going to go to heaven. Your bones aren't going to be broken, right? No, that's not how it works. Anyway, it doesn't. It does you no good if the person's dead to fix their arms. So the paramedic's job is just to quickly get this person going and get back to the hospital. So back to the plant. It does no good to repair the leaf when the root is dead or dying. does it? No, it doesn't. So let's read the first part of this parable and then break it down from there, okay? So let's go to Luke. Go to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke, chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Luke. And we're going to begin in verse 4. So everybody there? All right, you'll be there now. Chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?'" Wow. Now, there are three things going on here that I want you to see. Three things. Number one, who is the sower? Who is the sower? The sower is the one sharing the gospel message. The one that has the word. The one. Now, when I say that, guess what? Every believer in this sanctuary this morning, you are the sower. You are the sowers. Because if you don't believe me, take a look at Matthew chapter 28. What's it say? It says that you are to go. And you are to preach the gospel message and disciple. That's our jobs. That's our jobs. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that's our jobs. So every born-again believer right here this morning should be the sower. Now we have number two. We have the seed. The seed represents the good news of the kingdom of God and the forgiveness of sin. That is the gospel message. That is Jesus came from the throne of heaven, came to earth, humbled himself, made himself a man, and died for us on the cross at Calvary to take our sins away. Right? Amen. Amen. Then there's number three. The third part is the soil. This represents the recipient. How people respond to the gospel. The disciples, and that could be us too. Okay? That is us. Our hearts, our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a spiritual growth. There's some spiritual growth here, and I'll look at that in just a few minutes. But the disciples in verse 9 were a bit confused and asked him to interpret the parable. Now, let's pick up on verse 9 and 10. It says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?'" They're a little confused. They are absolutely confused. In 10, he says, "And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, the word parable in the Greek means something thrown alongside. Okay? That's what that word means in Greek. That's what it is. Something thrown alongside. It's used to compare. All right? You're comparing two things. Now, what you're comparing, it's telling a story of the familiar things with the unfamiliar things. And what's happening is Jesus is telling an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay? And why he's doing that is to separate those that are truly his disciples, those who are really there because they love God and they love Jesus and they knew Scripture and they knew what to do and they knew that Jesus Christ was Lord and he is the Messiah, from the ones, the detractors, who were there for the miracles. We're there just to have fun and to see what was going on, and the scholars to scoff and whatever to see what was wrong. So he told those to separate those two, comparing the earthly with the heavenly. Now, what he does is in verse 11, Jesus gets into the meaning of this parable. So it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The gospel message. That's what that is. He is talking about the gospel message. That is the word. That is the seed that we have to plant. That is born again believers, that we need to plant seeds. Remember, some plant, some water, some harvest, right? Maybe you're talking to somebody, or just the way you walk or present yourself in your workplace or at school or wherever you are. You are presenting yourself as a Christian, and when they're telling dirty jokes, you walk away, or when something else comes up, when there's a deal, you are truthful and your integrity is there, right? That's what you need. When people see that, that's a seed planted. That's a seed. So anyway. So that's the gospel message. Now, verse 12, it says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This soil is dead. It's dead. I tried to plant grass. Here we go again, my green thumb, right? Or whatever color it is. It doesn't really matter. I had big boulders that the previous owners had put around my property so cars wouldn't run in. And I said, I don't want those anymore. I got those boulders up, and it left big holes and stuff. So what I did is I put soil, and I watered it, and I fertilized it, and it was all nice and really, oh man, I just want something to suck down in here. So I put sod on top of it. And then I had some extra sod that I didn't want to just throw away because it costs money, right? So I went up by the path, by my concrete sidewalk, and I just laid it in there, in the bare spot. Well, guess what? The stuff in the outside where I had, because I don't water anything, okay, except for me. I drink a lot of water. But you know what? If you need water and you live in my house, or if you live outside of it, you're going to die. It's like the desert, you know, you come across the desert. If you see a glass of water outside, you're seeing a mirage. Okay, but anyway, so this all flourished, and I didn't water or anything, just natural rain. But that other stuff, it couldn't root, so it died. It's all brown now. I would imagine it's still brown, you know, because I didn't do anything after. I didn't pull it back up either. You know, we're just going to hope. I'm praying over it, all right? I got my hands laid on it. Heal, right? But no. Anyway, so I tried. This is the hard path. The seed is sown, but it's rejected. The person has a hardened heart. An example of that is when we were on the bike ride years ago, what we did is there were about, 10, 15 guys, people, girls and guys. And we went, started in Myersdale, and we stopped at Camp Carmel, spent the night. Big spiders. Anyway, we stopped there, and then we got up the next morning, and we went on to Boston, or the McKeesport, okay, down that way. So when we got there, the whole idea of this ride was, hey, listen, what we're going to do is we are, anybody that you would break out into conversation with, you have to plant the seed. Give the gospel message, okay? And that's what you're supposed to be able to do. So we got all the way to Boston, and, you know, most of us were able to at least converse with somebody and give the gospel message. But my wife, Sue, hadn't done that yet. And she was feeling really bad. She said, man, I haven't seen anybody. I haven't broken out into conversation because, you know, we're all hogs. The rest of us are all going and grabbing people when we got to Ohio Pow, you know. Nobody else was there. Sue was left out. And so we get to Ohio, or get to the end, and we're all putting our bikes away. And Sue says, ha, the light goes on. There's a couple over there putting their bikes away. I'm just going to go over there, plant the seed, tell them about Jesus, and they're gonna love it. Okay? She goes over, and she starts to talk to them about Jesus. And it knocked her socks off, because what they came back with, I can't believe that anybody in today's age would believe in a medieval religion. You have to be crazy to believe that. She came back, and I think her jaw was dragging down behind her. Her tail was tucked, you know? I mean, it was awful. That's the hardened heart. That's the person that the seed falls, and their heart and their soil is totally unacceptant. And the devil doesn't want it to grow or be fertile or anything, because what he does is he comes and plucks it out and takes that seed before it has any type of chance to grow at all, unfortunately. Now, I want to stop right here for a moment, just a moment. If that is you this morning, because I don't know everybody here. I don't know your personal life. I don't know what your walk is. You could be coming here for 30 years and still not know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. If that is you this morning, I want you to right now, and for the rest of the service, I want you to ask God, just pray to God and say, God, soften that soil. Soften my heart so that I might receive that seed so it could flourish in me. That's what I want you to pray. Right now, I want you to pray that. Don't pay any more attention to what I'm saying or whatever. You need to right now pray and allow God to soften your heart, because at the end of the service, I am going to give you an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. See, because all the baggage that you brought in here, all the brokenness that you brought in here, guess what? You're going to leave with, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life and give it to him. Because see, Jesus is here. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, and he's saying, look, let me in. I want to take those burdens and that brokenness from you. Give it to me. But if you walk out, you take it with you. You're just going to pack your bags, repack them, and walk right out the door with it. And guess what's going to happen? Tomorrow, you're going to face the exact same thing, because it's going to haunt you, because Satan will guilt you from now on. But if you accept it and give it away, leave your baggage here, you don't have to deal with that anymore, because now you're a new creature. All things new. Amen? Amen. The next soil we see here falls on the rock. Verse 13, it says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, this is what I call the chia pet kind of faith. All right? You know what a chia pet is, right? It's a little ceramic, whatever, sheep, dog, cow, whatever, it's that chia pet. I'd make a good chia pet. Huh? You laughed at that? Anyway, so what you do is, with that chia pet, you have this muddy kind of stuff, and you spread it all over this ceramic thing, and then you put it in the right conditions, you water it, you do everything to it, you treat it nicely, not too much light, not too much dark, not too much food, not too much this, not too much that. It's got to be perfect. And it'll grow. And it does really well. These little sprouts come out. Like I said, I should probably use that. They have to be perfect conditions, else it'll die. A chia pet kind of faith is like that. As long as it has joy and happiness and everything is going well, man, everything is good, I love Jesus. Great conditions. Takes perfect, absolute conditions, then that person is happy. But take it out of the perfect condition, and what does it do? It dies. With this characteristic, when the fun stops, the first thing that happens is they say, something must be wrong with the church. I'm out of here. Not something is wrong with the soil. Not something is wrong with my heart. It's something is wrong with the church, and I'm out of here. I'm leaving. As I go through these soils, I want you to be thinking about where you fit in. Which one? It's like spiritual growth. And spiritual growth takes place. First, you're dead. We all know that. You're dead. If you don't have Jesus Christ and you're here this morning, you are dead. And there are dead people in churches all over the world this morning. But then, from death, if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, then you become the childlike stage, okay? That's it's all about me kind of stage. That's that this happy stage here, that chia pet kind of faith. You know, as long as I'm happy, I'm good. We're good to go. I love Jesus. But don't let anything come. Don't take me out of these conditions, because you take me out. If I don't like the music, if I don't like whatever, if I don't like what the preacher says, if I don't like the color of the carpet, if I don't like the color of the walls, if I don't like you name it, then I'm going to take my ball and go home. That's the child. That's the child stage. All about me. Then there's the young adult or the youth stage, and then there's the parent. The parent. That youth stage is pretty good too, and we'll go into that in just a moment, okay? Because that's the one that falls upon the thorns, kind of like. And I'm, you know, just so to speak. And then the parent, reproducing themselves, caring about people. You know what? I've had a very bad week. And if I were a chia pet kind of faith, if I had that kind of faith, guess what? I wouldn't be here this morning. I'd have been gone already, because I was not a very happy camper this week. I got some bad news. I got some bad news. Right, Jan? She doesn't know what I'm talking about. My tax return. That was some bad news. So listen. So I've got a little bit of time. I'm going to put my message together, okay? Now, I'm thinking about it all week, and I'm going to put my message together. Friday is the day I'm going to, because I'm out of the office on Thursday. I couldn't do it. I'm out of the office on Saturday. I couldn't do it then because I was busy all day yesterday. So I said, well, Friday is my day. I've been thinking about it all week, looking up scripture, looking up all this stuff, and now I'm going to put my message together Friday. So I sit in my office from whenever. What time did I get here, Roger? You keep time. About 9 o'clock. Okay, so that's early for me. What was I doing here that early? All right, so anyway, so I'm putting the message together. I'm all done. It's around 2:30. I got to go to the doctor's. So I'm just about, I've got about two more slides to do. And it disappears. Oh, surely it's still there. So I reboot my iPad. And it won't come up. Run! Come fix me. It's gone. He comes. He says, I'll be there in a little bit. He looks at it. It's gone. The whole program's gone. Just not that. I mean, we're talking about 2 years worth of sermons that have now disappeared into oblivion. The abyss. All right? So guess what I'm preaching from today? So anyway, but you know what? I said that because the parents, the ones who really are grounded in their faith, the ones that are reproducing themselves, when I was down, the best thing for me to do is go to the chiropractor and get my back adjusted. So I went over to the Jodens, and he adjusted my back, and I told him how depressed I was because of my program. And they said, wow, that's pretty awesome, because God has a better message this anyway for us on Sunday morning. And I thought, you know what, you're right. They could have come right down with me, but they lifted me up, right? And isn't that what the parents are supposed to do? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to lift one another up, and we are to just hold each other. That's what small groups are all about. You know, small groups are lifting each other up, unpacking our baggage in front of some other Christians who really care about you, and say, hey, you know what, that isn't so bad. It's probably going to be pretty awesome Sunday morning because of that. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's the way we ought to be, right? Amen. Amen. All right. So anyway, back to this. It was so easy when I could slide, you know? All right. We'll get that back next week. Anyway, I want you to check your root of faith. Do conditions have to be perfect to enjoy the relationship that you have with God? Do you expect your Christian walk to be without trials or hardships? Do spiritual matters turn you off when you're outside of the church? When people come to you and you're at work, or when you're at play, or when you're at school, kids, pay attention over there. Does it kind of turn you off when somebody starts to talk about Jesus or spiritual things? Do you see your relationship with God as only taking place while you're here in church? Guess what? The very thing that makes this group, that group that I just talked about, fall away, the Chia Pets, is the very thing the Christian needs to grow stronger and closer to God. The trials and tribulations are what sharpens us, right? The ones that hurt, the things that hurt us, and we can grow because of it. We get sharpened. So think about this. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Allow them to work. Just let it work on you. Just let those trials come. Say, you know, I'm not asking trials to come, but when they do, see what God has for you in that. See how you can grow closer to God. Verse 14. And that which fall among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked in care and choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Wow. Unlike the rocky soil, this soil has some depth, okay? There is some depth there. This believer has a great start. They profess Christ as Lord, so they are saved. They join a Bible study. They teach Sunday school. They join a prayer group. Lots of fellowship. Do all the right things. Even though they have ministry and are rooted in their salvation, they lose sight of spiritual things in their life. They just lose sight of it. They lose sight because the busyness of worldly things distract them away. That's what happens. We get so busy, we get so distracted that we no longer can do what we've once did. We no longer can wake up on time to read our Bible or to pray to God. It's just all this busyness, all this stuff has come into our lives, and it's more important than God. At least we think it is. They lose sight because the busyness. Many times, people in this situation live their spiritual life out through the glass of the past. They take a look, just like my picture that I put up on Facebook from 1979. Whew, I got all kind of hits on that one. I was skinny and had hair. Go figure what happens to age. All right. But anyway, they kind of look at it I used to. These are the kind of things they say. I used to, or back then, I had perfect attendance in Sunday school, or I was a Sunday school teacher, and they go on and on and on about what they had done in the past, and they used to serve the Lord back in the day, but no time now. Too busy working to pay for the things that you can't live without. You know what? If you want to really watch, and I asked Pastor Ron to look for a video, and I couldn't find one yesterday, and he couldn't find one either, but you want just a good picture, go to Walmart or go to Lowe's, okay? Lowe's is pretty good at this, or Home Depot. Go in there, and as soon as you enter, you see all these bargain things, you know? And, you know, that's something, oh, I mean, I can't live without that. So you pick it up and throw it in your basket, or you go through and start shopping. You're only going to go look for one thing, but then all of a sudden now, oh, yeah, maybe I ought to put this in my cart because I need this, and I need that, and I need that. Go to a Bass Pro Shop, you know? Go to a Bass Pro Shop. Man, they have everything for the man. The man. The man. Their pleasures and desires. It's unbelievable. You know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. Don't just try to slot God in, folks. Don't slot him in. Say, hey, God, you know what? I'm going to put you on the shelf, get you all dusty and everything, and then when I need you, when I'm in trouble, when things aren't going so well, I'm going to pick you off the shelf and I'm going to slot you in. Matthew 16, 24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man's profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Wow. That, my friends, is a promise. Verse 15. But that on the good soil, on good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The good soil. The good soil is void of hardness and receptive to the Holy Spirit. That's the good soil. That's the parent that we were talking about. The good soil represents the life that hears the word and does it, retains it, reproduces and produces spiritual fruit as a result. This person is going to experience a life response that will change the very way they live their lives. A life response that is not temporary, but eternal. The interesting thing about the three soils is that you have a choice on how you respond to the Word of God. Each and every one of us here this morning has a choice to respond to His Word. Now, some of you have come this morning, maybe with a friend or a family member or whatever, and you fall into this category of hardened soil or dead soil. You probably are thinking, Pastor, you know what? You don't know me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how broken I am. You don't know the road that I've been on, but it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't have to be that way. Because in a little while, hopefully we can change all of that. Because I'm going to give the gospel message, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. You see, you can't do it all by yourself. You have to have help, or you need help. And the only one that can help you is Jesus Christ himself. See, if you leave here this morning without Jesus, like I said, all the stuff is going to go with you. Everything that you brought, all your brokenness, you're going to leave with it. Jesus wants you to take this right now from him, from you, and take it on to himself right in this moment. Christian, where are you in all this? Are you in the child stage? Is it all about you? Are you in the young adult stage? Are you in the parenting stage and you're growing? You know what? There's a couple of ways, and then I'd like to invite Pastor Ron and the band up to play the music. But Christian, there's a couple of ways that you can grow. Number one, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, because nothing will change unless you do that. Nothing. But if you accept Jesus Christ, that's the first start. That's the first step that you have to take in order to have that changed life, to get rid of that brokenness that you have. Okay, the second is to read your Bible every morning. Read it. Just pick it up and read it. Allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it for you. Read it. Come to church. Make sure you're here all the time and pray. And be plugged into a small group. If you truly want to work through your brokenness, there is no better way than to sit there with a group of folks that really care about you and love you, and that you can talk about some of the issues that you may have. See, what happens is Satan loves to keep what you've been thinking, what you have, and what's been holding you down, and what's been broken in you. He loves for you to keep it in the dark. He wants you to keep it in the dark. He wants you to keep it right here so that nobody sees it. But guess what? When you put it out into the light, the darkness disappears, and it's not as bad as you thought it was. All of a sudden, that big, deep, dark secret that you've been hiding doesn't look so ugly anymore. It's out now. And everybody around you is saying, "Praise God, you finally got that demon out of you. It's been haunting you for years. Get it out. Get it out into the open. Get it out into the light. Allow Christ to shed light on that. What happens to darkness when light hits it? Disappears, right? So everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. You know what? Right now, right in this moment, I just want you to think about what's been going on this morning. Think about the battles that you've been going through this morning. Think about the brokenness that you have this morning. Because I'll guarantee you, many of you walked in this morning and you were broken. Even if you are saved, born again believer in Jesus Christ, some of you came in here with some problems. Like, you didn't get as much back on taxes as you thought. Or maybe a child of yours is not acting the way. Or maybe you have done something that is just not right, and it's worried you and it's burdening you. You need to come down and let Jesus handle that for you. Bring it out into the light. Come down. The altar is open. Now, this morning I want you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, I want you to pray this prayer with me, okay? So every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father God, I know that my brokenness, my sin, all the stuff that I've had in my backpack and my luggage that I've been carrying around with me for all these years, God, I know that that has all separated me from you. But I know that your Son defeated the grave, that he came down, that you loved us so much that he came down and died on Calvary's cross for my sins and for your sins. I know that. Now all I have to do is accept them. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord over my life. Invite him into my heart right now. God, come in. Come into my heart right now, Jesus. I accept you. Please forgive me. Forgive me of all the stuff that's in my past, God. I want to make all things new. I want to be a new creature. I want to have a new mind. God, please enter my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your immediate response. Seeking you. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Now, family, I want to keep the altar open. We're all in different times, different soils, whatever, different walks of life, different faiths, whatever, or amount of faith. God, I just want you to, at this time, if you're not where you need to be, more. If you want to be a little bit further, maybe you are where you need to be, but you just want to thank God, just come down. The altar's open. Pastor Ron's gonna sing a few verses of invitation, and you may as well just come down and just, God, show me where I need to be. Show me where you want me to be, what kind of soil you want. Just come on down.
Peace be still, you are near. There's nowhere we can go where you won't shine. Redemption's light. Our guilt withdrawn and as you rise, we come alive. The grave has lost the old, is gone, and you're making all things new. You are making all things new. You are making all things new. We are free. Hope is found. You are here. Our hearts forever sealed by this love that came for us. Now we are yours and as you rise, we come alive. The grave has lost.
Gracious God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your message. Thank you, Father, for the folks that came out today. God, may they be blessed in a very special way today, each and every one that have come out today. God, for those who have accepted your Son as Lord over their lives this morning, Father, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for them. Lord, may we continue to grow. May we continue to have fertile soil, Lord. May we continue to be the sower of your seed, of your gospel message. Father, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.